Well, next, we turn our attention to the business of making news. There has been so much discussion happening, certainly locally, but really nationally, about what is happening with hedge fund ownership of local newspapers. Here at the Denver Post, we're seeing the decimation of local newsrooms with countless journalists being laid off. Even in a profitable newspaper, we're seeing editors resigning over the censorship that surrounds this. We're seeing other editors like Dave Krieger at the Daily Camera, also owned by Alden Global Capital. He was laid off because he self-published an editorial that the newspaper wouldn't allow him to publish in the newspaper that was critical of this entire system. But despite all of the conversation that is happening, there seems to be an absence of real analysis of the systemic problems around corporate control of media. Well, today to discuss that particular issue, I have two very special guests. John Nichols, who is a great friend of KGNU, a long-time contributor to The Nation magazine and an author of so many books. We don't have time to name them all, but one in particular actually deals with this particular issue, Our Media, Not Theirs, The Democratic Struggle Against Corporate Media. And he joins us by phone. Good morning, John. Thank you for joining us this morning.
Good morning, Maeve. I'm glad you're dealing with this topic.
And Joe Ellen Green-Kaiser, who's the Executive Director of the Media Consortium, is also our guest. Joe Ellen, it's great to have you on the phone this morning.
Good morning, Maeve. This is such an important topic. This is about the future of journalism.
Well, we're going to take a deep dive into some of these systemic issues. But Joe Ellen, tell our listeners who might not be familiar with your organization how that pertains to the conversation we're having today.
Sure. We are a network of independent news organizations. So our job is to ensure the health of independent news free of corporate control. And we've been working very, very hard to understand the systemic issues that enable independent journalism to thrive. And I actually have really positive news for your listeners. I think that we're moving into a new era where independent journalism will actually grow.
Well, and why do you think that, Joelle, and what is playing out that supports that view?
What's happening is that advertising is dying. Facebook and Google now own 63% of digital advertising worldwide, and that percent is increasing. Advertisers are looking for, really don't prefer to advertise against news. They actually prefer to advertise against lifestyle kinds of things. And so what the whole business model of corporate media that was based on advertising is going away. The new model is based really on stakeholders, not shareholders. The new model is based on the same model that KGNU operates on, that your people who really care about the work that you're doing will give you money to make your to allow you to produce the news that they are interested in hearing. And so we're moving into an era where donation, membership is becoming much more important as the primary growth engine of news. You see that in the New York Times that's been growing their digital subscribers and actually developing a membership program. So I think that we're moving into an era where this is what we're seeing now with Digital First is the last gasp of this kind of corporate media.
Well, John Nichols, back in 2002, you wrote the book, Our Media, Not Theirs, The Democratic Struggle Against Corporate Media. And you examined how the current corporate dominance in our media system, how that's actually undermining democracy. But you also offered some alternatives. What are your thoughts right now on the current situation, but also the conversations that are happening where it really seems to be, how can we find another rich person to buy this newspaper and keep it here in Denver? And really, no analysis done about the systemic issues around that corporate-controlled and for-profit media ownership?
Well, I appreciate the question, and I have to give credit to my co-writer, Bob McChesney. We've written six books now on these issues, and you're right. Back in 2001, 2002, we argued, inspired in many ways by the great writing of Ben Bagdikian and others, that there was simply no question this was the direction that we were headed. We were headed toward a point where advertising would flee media, And the weird thing was that media, as it currently exists in print, broadcast, and digital, it's very important to understand online media no different in any sense than broadcast or print in this regard. We were headed toward a point where there wouldn't be sufficient funding to pay a lot of journalists to do a lot of work. And as that happened, you would have less and less information flowing in to inform citizens about how they could be their own governors. It's not a complicated thought, but it is a very serious one. And I would argue the crisis is more severe, more quickly than we imagined. And I don't think we are in a good place right now. I think we are in a very dire, very desperate place. That is no way in conflict with what my good colleague just said. She's exactly right that there's a rising movement of independent media. But as somebody who writes for The Nation and for other publications that do operate on models seeking a lot of support from folks, I can tell you that it's not enough. This is insufficient to give this country the journalism that it needs. And so people turn desperately to the billionaire of the moment. And they say, well, maybe we'll get a Jeff Bezos who will fund the Washington Post or something like that. It's a terrible, terrible, terrible strategy. First off, billionaires and millionaires, by and large, are self-interested. It doesn't mean that they can't be liberal on some issues or at least humane or even conservative and humane. But at the end of the day, they tend to have a lot of business interests, a lot of corporate interests, and that becomes hugely problematic right off the bat. Secondly, there are not enough billionaires who are interested in the journalism that is needed. And remember, the crisis in American media is not in Washington. It's not about covering national news. It's in small towns and small cities and state capitals around the country. The death of local media and the death of regional media is what is creating a one-size-fits-all national discourse. And that one-size-fits-all national discourse is incredibly easily controlled by corporate and status quo and even nefarious interests. So I think we're in literally the worst situation that American journalism has been in since the founding of the Republic. And I believe it is creating political results and creating political dynamics that are very, very dangerous. So media reform, media issues, should be central to people's discourse going forward.
That's John Nichols, one of our guests this morning on KGNU. And John, I'm so glad you gave a shout out to your co-author on many books on this topic, Bob McChesney. Now, Bob was the co-author of another book. Now, you weren't involved in this one, but it was so prophetic, at least in the title. Will the Last Reporter Please Turn Out the Lights? The Collapse of Journalism. And he also says what can be done to fix it, because that is what we're seeing. We're seeing newsrooms literally darkened because of all this. Now, our other guest this morning is Joellen Green-Kaiser, who's the executive director of the Media Consortium. And Joellen, you said you're optimistic with some of the changes here. In terms of rural news coverage, because that's really concerning when we see news deserts, this is something that we're seeing where there is no news coverage, no newspapers covering, you know, vast swaths of rural America. You said that new technologies can actually enable or encourage the growth of news hubs in rural areas. Can you talk a little bit more about that?
Yeah, I agree with John that we're definitely approaching the bottom of the worst that journalism has ever been. But I do see the upward movement. There's been a real effort to develop news hubs, and this one good model is in Arkansas, where the independent alternative weekly in Arkansas has actually reached out to very small local online radio broadcast newspapers in through the state and tried to gather them together to help provide them with content about the entire state and also to get their content from their local regions. And what that's done is provided an injection of journalism for those folks and also made them more relevant to the local population so that people are tending to be more supportive. And I think that I mean, we definitely need to see something like that in western Colorado, where there's a really a dearth of news, unlike eastern Colorado, where I think you have a fairly substantial and strong news despite the death of the or the dying throes of the Post. The new technologies that are coming in are ones that will enable folks to make one payment and then get news from wherever they're interested, a kind of fast pass for news. And right now, the main block to that is not the technology. It's to make sure that there's privacy protections, because this would work very similar to the way that Facebook Connect works. But Facebook Connect really takes advantage of people's privacy and provides you with content based on digging around and learning about your identity. We have to create a new system that would protect your control over your identity while still allowing you to have access to all the news you want. And that's a project that I've been working on. I think it will happen in the next 3 or 4 years, and I'm really optimistic about that.
In terms of other solutions to this crisis, we are seeing other non-traditional media institutions stepping in to the space here. And there was a report earlier this year about a small town in New Hampshire that their local library took over the local newspaper to actually keep it in production. Was that just a unique human interest story? Or are we seeing these kind of movements where communities are really standing up to say, we cannot lose this kind of news coverage, that we need to now take over our newspaper? John, what are we seeing nationally?
Well, we are seeing some examples of this, and one of the strongest examples around the country, and Bob and I wrote about this, we did a book a couple of years ago called The Death and Life of American Journalism, which examined really the rising of the digital age and looked at the fantasies about online media as well as some of the realities. One of the most encouraging things we saw in a number of places around the country was the build-out of online media operations associated with traditional public radio and community radio stations. And we've seen some of this in St. Louis and a number of other places around the country. To give you an example, how this might work with KGNU is that, first off, seeking grants, then hopefully building out a subscription or at least donor-supporter model, you would literally hire, you know, three or four initially, and then eight, and then 10, and then 20 journalists, and you'd start covering Boulder and Denver online as a news operation that extends from the work you do at the radio station. And we've seen some of that work around the country. This is one of the things I think is really important, and I think that my colleague is pointing out a similar concept here. It's very good if you've got an existing institution that you can build from, that has some consciousness, and people, you know, people are aware of it, they're supportive of it. However, and this is one important thing I'll counsel, in looking at the models from the U.S. and around the world, we see very, very few examples of it getting to the scale that is necessary to address the crisis. And so one of the things that we've argued for a number of years is that the United States needs to move toward a model, borrowing from some other countries around the world, where, A, we supercharge funding of community and public broadcasting. That's a given. B, we take the existing small radio stations that are associated with high schools and colleges. You'd be surprised by how many high schools and colleges have radio stations, as well as the newspapers associated with high schools and colleges. And instead of letting them dwindle away, we come up with models where out-of-work journalists, people who maybe worked at the Post or at the Camera, go and work with high school and college journalists and begin to cover the news deserts. This is, again, a model of using something existing. Finally, the last thing that we argue is essential. This is not a negotiable point. We need to create a tax deduction where people can take right off their taxes subscriptions to newspapers, radio stations, and other not-for-profit media, so that when you give money to KGNU, when you give money to an online news site, whatever it is, that comes right off your taxes in a substantial amount, you know, probably maybe $200 a household, something like that, maybe more. And the reason you need this is we have to break one of the realities of the digital age, and that is the assumption that you're going to get things for free. And despite all the campaigning and all the great work that has been done, even by the New York Times, what we find is the proportion of Americans who will actually, you know, write the check, who will contribute, is so unimaginably small that if that is our model going forward, we're going to end up in a circumstance where news deserts will remain, and more significantly, news will primarily be an elite commodity, one that is obtainable by those by a small portion of society, but the vast majority of people won't get it. So we have to look for models that really empower people who don't have a lot of resources to support media that covers them.
That's John Nichols, Nation correspondent, longtime contributor on Democracy Now! He's a regular guest as well as here on KGNU and the author and co-author of many, many books on the state of media. And he's joining us this morning on KGNU along with Joellen Green-Kaiser, who's the executive director of the Media Consortium, as we're talking about the current state of media in the light of what's been happening with Alden Global Capital, its ownership of the Denver Post and the Daily Camera and the Times Call, and so much of our media landscape, and the decimation of local newsrooms. John, to your point, we have talked about this a lot as we are a community-centric media organisation. Anytime we have a pledge drive, we talk about the need to have community support. And you have been very graciously joining us to help us pitch in these efforts. And as you said, there really is a very small number of people who rely on a service, using KGNU as a model, who ultimately contribute. And so as you said then, if we leave everything to that model, that's a dangerous situation as well. But the reality is there is no political will here in the US. We're seeing constant threats to defund the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, which gives minuscule amounts to public media. But every time there's a Republican-controlled Congress, it gets brought up again that we need to defund that. So where can we get some type of political will, either at a local, at a state level, never mind a national level, to actually create that model that you're talking about that actually exists very successfully in other countries, like in Britain and like in Ireland, where there is a publicly funded broadcaster, as well as corporate-controlled broadcasting as well?
Yeah, you know, the truth of the matter is I appear on national media in Britain and Ireland as much or more than I do in the U.S. And in other countries of Europe, because when you have a strong public broadcaster, you're looking for a variety of opinions, you're doing international news, there's so much that comes from it. Our U.S. media suffers from scarcity, something very akin to starvation. And particularly our community and public media, it is reduced to begging people to give money, and that's great, and people do. And I, as you note, participate in these pledge drives all the time. But we have to break beyond this model. It doesn't work. And in you're just one economic downturn from a moment when a lot of people say, boy, I just can't afford to write that check. And so at the most dire of circumstances, we're in a position where resources get cut. So we can't do that alone. We have to do something else, and that is to make media an issue. And that may sound difficult, but the fact of the matter is we have a tremendous number of people in this country who talk about media, who think about it, who are worried about it, and frankly, who will step up on an issue like net neutrality or even corporate consolidation. Millions of people have. So we know that media can be an issue, but the problem is that it's usually an issue in a defensive mode. What we have to get to is an affirmative media agenda. And on this, we need leadership. You need people who are in our politics campaigning on and focusing on these issues and people demanding that they do. For instance, in your Colorado governor's race, no one should be supported for governor of Colorado in either party in any situation if they don't have a clear program for how to deal with the crisis that Colorado's experiencing right now as regards the Post, as regards the other papers in the state, and frankly, as regards going beyond platforms, going beyond print, broadcast, digital, to the simple reality of where's the news going to come from. And, you know, that's a demand that ought to be made. There ought to be a debate of your gubernatorial candidates where they literally discuss only future of media and democracy. And that shouldn't sound strange or interesting. That should be a fundamental, because just as, you know, clean air and clean water are necessary to our survival as human beings, so a free flow of information and a lot of quality information and insight and analysis is necessary to the survival of democracy. And so it's a simple demand, if you will, simple ask of Coloradans, and that is, you're in a crisis moment, make media an issue and force your candidates to talk about it, and if they don't, tell them bluntly you won't support them.
Well, Joe Allen, what are your thoughts on that issue, that the subscription model can only get us so far because you'll only have a small select few that will subscribe. And the digital platform really, I think, has led to this issue where people don't necessarily want to pay for news. So John has laid out some other alternatives. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I agree with John. I mean, what we see is that organizations that do a good job with reaching out to their stakeholders can get 40 to 60% of their revenue from donations or memberships or subscriptions from individuals, and the rest of it has to come from somewhere else. And I think, you know, people look to philanthropy, but I think that's a mistake because you're just looking to the billionaires again. People look to community events. But I think that John is right that media should be something that we pay for as a community. And I would recommend starting at the grassroots. The national situation is not favorable for media right now, in terms of, you know, getting payments, but the local situation is we used to get money for public access channels from cable fees, and in some places still do. What can Boulder do to support KGNU? What can Denver do to support a Colorado Independent or the Denver Post? What can the state of Colorado do to support local media? Is there going to be, can there be a tax? Can there be a fee? It seems to me that we have to start local where we are and build from there. And I feel that as local media becomes more of a community asset, as local media is working with libraries, works with, does community events, it becomes, local media is part of the fiber of a community, and the community should be supporting it. And that means the whole community and not just the individuals who can pay.
That's Joellen Green-Kaiser. She's the Executive Director of the Media Consortium. You can find out more about their work online at themediaconsortium.org. She's one of our guests this morning. Also, John Nichols joined us. John is a longtime supporter of KGNU, has joined us in pledge drives over the years, but he's also, of course, a nation correspondent, author and co-author of many, many books on this particular topic, what is happening with our corporate media. And this is just the beginning of this conversation. And I really appreciate both of you taking time out of your very busy schedules to be with us this morning. Thank you, John. Thank you, Joellen.